Battle for the Body, Chapter 17, Whom Satan Hath Bound. Healing Promised to Claim. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Introduction. For too long, the work of demons has been dismissed by many as a curious practice in heathen cultures. It has not been considered as a problem which invades lives, homes, churches, and nations. But there are people all about you who are tormented, troubled, and even possessed by the powers of darkness known as demons. Jesus ministered to those affected by demonic powers, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, and he commissioned his followers to do likewise as they spread the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. This chapter presents guidelines for ministering to those affected by demonic powers. In order to receive the gospel, these captives must first be delivered from bondage. Jesus and demons. The teaching and ministry of Jesus demonstrated that demonic spirits are a real force of evil. What Jesus taught about demons and how he dealt with them yields valuable information about the strategies of Satan. Jesus accepted the fact that Satan is the ruler of a host of demons. He taught of the reality and power of demons. He said that casting out demons was one of the signs that the kingdom of God had come. Read Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 30, Mark chapter 3, verses 22 through 27, and Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 23, for a summary of what Jesus taught concerning demons. A large portion of the ministry of Jesus involved dealing with demons. It is the example of Jesus and the authority of his name that provides the scriptural basis for dealing with demonic powers. Jesus ministered to all who came with demonic problems. Peter said of Jesus, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How demons operate. Demons are used by Satan to oppose God, his plan and purposes, and his people. They also war against unbelievers to keep them from the truth of the gospel. Demons control specific territories or principalities, such as the Prince of Persia mentioned in Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. Demons also work through personalities, through men and women, to accomplish satanic objectives in the world. Opposition to God's will is Satan's main objective. The word Satan means adversary. Satan is primarily God's adversary. Job chapter 1 verse 6, Matthew chapter 13 verse 39. He is secondarily man's adversary. Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Demons have different natures. One demon identified himself in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 23, as a lying spirit. A deaf and dumb spirit is identified in Mark chapter 9, verse 25. Demons of various natures operate as spirits of infirmity, seducing spirits, and unclean spirits. Satan uses them to war against man in body, soul, and spirit. Spirits of infirmity. These are spirits that afflict the bodies of believers as well as unbelievers. Read Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. This woman was afflicted with a spirit of infirmity. She was present in the Sabbath services, and Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham. Both of these facts indicate she probably was a follower of God, yet her body had been afflicted by Satan for 18 years. For other examples of demonic powers afflicting the body, see Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, chapter 17, verses 15 through 18, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, and 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Seducing spirits. These spirits afflict the spirit of man, seducing him to believe doctrinal lies and to be condemned to eternal punishment. They are spirits of false doctrine, cults, false Christs, and false teachers. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. These seducing spirits are deceptive. They actually work miracles which lead some to believe they are of God. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Revelation chapter 16, verse 14. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. Seducing spirits include the spirit of divination mentioned in Acts. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Such spirits of divination, or familiar spirits, operate in fortune tellers, witches, and palm, crystal ball, and tea leaf readers. Through unscriptural methods, these spirits of divination foretell the future and things not naturally known. Warnings against familiar spirits are given in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31, chapter 20, verse 6, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9, chapter 18, verse 10, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27, and 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 3. Seducing spirits sear the conscience, seduce, entice, tempt, allure, interest, fascinate, excite, arouse, attract, and deceive. Seducing spirits are active in causing spiritual wickedness in high places. They are present and operative in every cult and wherever doctrinal error exists. Remember that Satan craves worship, and he will take it in any way he can get it. Seducing spirits entice men and women to worship idols and even Satan himself. Unclean spirits. These demonic powers afflict the soulish nature of man. They are responsible for immoral acts, unclean thoughts, temptations, and other strategies of Satan used to bind men and women. When Satan controls individuals with unclean spirits, he can also operate in homes, churches, and entire nations, as these groups are composed of individuals. This is how Satan works in the various levels of structure in society. For examples of unclean spirits, see Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, chapter 12, verse 43, and Mark chapter 1, verses 23 through 26. Oppression, obsession, possession. Evil spirits can oppress people. To oppress means to bear down, come against, or bind from the outside. This oppression is accomplished by evil spirits in various ways. They cause depression, create negative circumstances, and insert wrong thoughts into the mind, such as the thoughts of suicide, immorality, unbelief, fear, etc. Demons create satanic circumstances and situations which tempt men to sin. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Demons can also possess human beings. Demon possession is a condition in which one or more evil spirits or demons inhabit the body of a human being and take complete control of their victim at will. Some people prefer using the word demonized rather than possession, but regardless of the term, the possessed person is host to resident demons. Possession does not mean a person is not responsible for his own sin. His responsibility rests with the factors that led to his condition. Possession can happen willingly. A person may desire to be taken over by spirit powers in order to conduct seances, pronounce curses, become a witch, or secure some other supernatural power. Possession can also occur unwillingly. An individual does not ask to be possessed, but through sinful thoughts, actions, or contact with the occult, possession results. Demonic powers operating in parents and the sins of the parents can affect the next generation. See Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, chapter 34, verse 7, and Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9. This may account for demon possession or oppression of children, such as recorded in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30, and chapter 9, verses 17 through 21. There is also such a thing as demon obsession. This is a condition where one becomes obsessed by an interest in or preoccupation with demons. It is an unusual interest in the occult, demons, and Satan, which controls interests and pursuits in a dictating manner. Obsession with demon powers can lead to possession by them. Can demons affect believers? A true believer cannot be possessed by a demon because the Holy Spirit cannot inhabit the same temple as an evil spirit. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. When you belong to God and are filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot belong to Satan and be filled with his spirits at the same time. The Holy Ghost will not abide in the same temple with Satan. But this does not mean believers cannot be affected by demonic powers. It is these powers against which we wrestle. Satan uses demonic powers to attack believers from the outside through oppression, the symptoms of which were previously discussed. But he cannot possess the true believer. To possess indicates inside occupation. To oppress or bind indicates control from the outside. Believers' conduct can be satanically directed if they allow demonic powers to oppress them. Such oppression or binding by evil powers permits Satan to use them for evil purposes. This is what happened when Peter, a disciple of Jesus, was used by Satan to try to divert Jesus from suffering for the sins of all mankind. When Jesus described the suffering he was to go through, Peter said, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. This did not mean Peter was actually Satan. He recognized that at that moment, Peter allowed Satan to operate through him. He was not demon-possessed, but he was allowing satanic spirits to influence him. Believers, by their own actions, can give place or make room for Satan to use them. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. When a person is born again, his name is written in a special book in heaven called the Book of Life. Only those whose names are in this book will be residents of heaven for eternity. And whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. It is possible to have your name written in the Book of Life, but later blotted out because of turning back to sinful living. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. If a believer continues in known unconfessed sin, there is a point at which he can cease to be a Christian. The Apostle Paul expressed his own concern that he not be cast away after preaching to others. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Paul realized that sin, especially continued unconfessed sins of the flesh, could result in the loss of his own soul, even though he preached the gospel to others. By continuing to live in sin, you will eventually end up in a backslidden condition, and you will no longer be a true follower of Jesus Christ. If you continue in known and unconfessed sin, no one can tell you at what point you cease to become a follower of Jesus and again become part of Satan's kingdom. It is God that determines that point. But when it does occur, you are opening yourself up to greater attacks of the enemy, including the possibility of demonic possession. This is why it is important when you sin to immediately confess sin and turn from unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 to 10. Jesus is called the Word of God in many places in Scripture. If the Word of God does not dwell in you, then Jesus does not dwell in you.